gentlemen, welcome back to the Fantasy Foot Beer Podcast. I'm James Kemp, joined as always by my good friend and fierce fantasy rival, Dr. Michael Stewart. Dr. Stu, what's up?
Oh, you know, nothing much. Just enjoying another day here in Central Indiana. It was a pretty warm one today, but had a decent day at work. Ready to talk some football, put the nose to the grindstone, talking about week three, what we can expect, our start-sit considerations out there in the universe. And before we get into that, James, of course, I want to know what you are doing tonight and how you're doing tonight, rather.
What I'm doing, I'm recording a podcast with my buddy, Stu. How I'm doing? I'm doing good. Still coming down from a pretty busy weekend. Friday went to an Oktoberfest, and Oktoberfested a little too close to the sun. Saturday went to the Notre Dame game. Was disappointed with the outcome, but otherwise had a really good time. And also, Kelsey bought a new car this weekend, so that was a whole ordeal, as car buying always is. But I'm excited to be here with you and with all of our awesome listeners, ready to talk about week three in the NFL and fantasy football. So we're going to try a different format than we did last time. Last episode, we mostly focused on recapping week one and a little bit of prep into week two. This week, we are going full on into week three prep. We are going to hit every single game, and we are going to try to be expedient about it. We're going to do our best. Hang with us. We're going to try and get you the information that you all need. So, Stu, how about you kick us off? First game on the slate is Miami Dolphins going to Buffalo for Thursday Night Football.
Yes, congratulations, 0-2 Miami Dolphins. You are rewarded with Thursday night at the Bills. The Bills are 12.5-point favorites in this game, James, and the implied point total is just under 50. So it should be reasonably scoring, but I think it's going to be pretty well lopsided for the Bills. So talking about the position players that you need to be considering, of course, Tua Tagovailoa for the Dolphins is not going to be a quarterback that you want to start, even if they are going to be probably down and in garbage time. I don't think you can trust him based on his current trajectory in this season. He's given up a lot of turnovers, and that's not very conducive for us. Achan, however, Devon Achan, running back one for you this week. He is getting passing volume like you would not believe. Everything that we could have hoped for when Jonnu Smith was traded over the offseason is coming to fruition, and Achan is an excellent target for you. In the same vein, we're going to be passing a lot. Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle, the two wide receivers there. They may not connect with Tua all the time, but they should be relatively decent wide receiver two to flex plays for you. I'd be putting both of those guys in my lineups. And that's kind of it for the Dolphins. No defense, no kicker is really, really that interesting to me. For the Bills, Josh Allen, kind of disappointing last week for somebody that you took in the third round. That's totally fine. The Bills are going to do whatever they need to win a game. So you're going to have some variance in the blow-up Allen games and the down Allen games, but he's going to be locked into your lineup. You're not sitting Josh Allen for anything against a defense as porous as the Dolphins. James Cook, in the same vein. He's really started the season well. Regression candidate, my butthole. He's been doing really, really well, James. He's in my lineup. It's the pass catchers that are a little more interesting to me. The Keon Coleman's great week one, kind of mediocre week two. How much volume do you think are we going to get in a game for those pass catchers, James? Do you think you're going to be starting the Shakirs, the Colemans, the Dalton Kincaids? Because I'm leaning probably no if I can.
I'm with you on that. I think we kind of saw last week what it's going to look like when the Bills are able to run heavily. And yeah, it was a little less Josh Allen than we expected, a little less on the receivers than we expected. I'm looking at something pretty similar to what we saw last week. Maybe a little bit more Josh Allen. Maybe you get one of those receiver targets with a touchdown, but I don't think it's something you can really count on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So pretty cut and dry, honestly, on Thursday night. It's going to be fun to watch. I mean, the poor Dolphins just look awful, and they'll try to swallow that hard pill and take into week four with some level of recovery, essentially. But James, why don't you take us through the first of the 1 o'clock block, New York Jets going to see the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
All right, we're going down to Tampa, where the Bucks are 6.5-point favorites over the New York Jets, and they might even end up beating them by a little bit more than that, since we are out on Justin Fields. He is injured. It's going to be Tyrod Taylor getting the start for the Jets. So for that reason, starting with the Jets, I want to downgrade all Jets wide receivers. Garrett Wilson, who normally we'd look at as a, you know, pretty low-level wide receiver one, we're looking now at a mid-level wide receiver two, in my opinion. And I am not considering any other pass catchers on the Jets. I am even going to temper expectations for Breece Hall, who has already had a pretty disappointing start to his season. Not that the Bucks' run stoppage is going to be that much stronger than any other team they've played, just that this is going to be a little bit of a slog for the Jets. On the other side, I think that Baker Mayfield is a great contender to go off this week, looking high 20s, I would hope, in fantasy point loads. Also, I'm looking very hard at starting Emeka Egbuka. He, for me, is very much a wide receiver two this week, with possibly even higher upside. Worried a little bit about Mike Evans. There were quotes this week from him about him considering retirement, and this is kind of consistent with the narrative that we have been kind of pondering over the offseason and into the early season. We've seen him have a little bit, not exactly pedestrian stat lines, but uninteresting stat lines in his first two games, with 10 PPR points apiece for both games. So Emeka Egbuka, I'm looking to continue performing well. His first two games, he's had 3 touchdowns, so I would love to see him get another one on Sunday. Also, looking at those running backs, we should see a lot of action for Bucky Irving, and we even saw some interesting action for Rashad White last week, too. I'm not saying go crazy for Rashad White, but Bucky Irving should be an automatic start for sure. Stu, any thoughts on the controversial take I just had on Mike Evans?
Honestly, I would be really, really bummed if Mike Evans retired. Love Mike Evans. He's a great player. A Hall of Famer for sure. One thing to note about Emeka Egbuka, I think came across my desk, that I think he was limited or missed practice today with a couple of hip issues, something like that. Something to keep your eye on if you are relying on this hot starting rookie down in Tampa. But yes, should be a pretty easy win for the Buccaneers. I don't think Tyrod Taylor is going to be anything, you know, more than serviceable. I think he can lead an offense, but I don't think he's going to be winning games, especially against a team like the Bucs. So, moving right along, I ended up with the Colts game. Colts are heading to Tennessee, and they are actually 3.5-point road favorites against the Titans and Cam Ward. Cam Ward, we're not starting Cam Ward. Let's let the guy grow. I think Tony Pollard is actually a pretty decent play this week. You do like to pair the running back with a rookie quarterback, because teams like to, you know, limit the number of times a rookie quarterback likes to throw. Tony Pollard is the only guy there right now, with his running mate Tajay Spears still on the shelf with that high ankle sprain. So we can enjoy a couple more weeks of good volume for Tony Pollard. He had 20 touches, I think, last week, and a couple of targets. Really good volume. And against a team like the Colts, I don't think the Colts are going to jump out to too large of a lead like they did with the Dolphins against the Titans. But Tony Pollard, I think, is a good start. A nice low-level running back, too. Calvin Ridley, I would be looking to bench Calvin Ridley at this point. He's been very disappointing, not at all what we were hoping for when we were looking at him in drafts. One guy I want to shout at is Elik Iamanner, the rookie wide receiver there in Tennessee. He caught his first touchdown last week. He was a fun play, busted play, but I would look for him to get a little more work as the season goes on. Not relevant right now. James, on our home Colts side, Daniel Jones, he's working his way into a conversation where you can start him in fantasy. Until the Colts show that they start to implode, I mean, Daniel Jones he's getting all the quarterback sneaks. The goal line duties are going to him. He's got 3 rushing scores already in 2 games. He's throwing well. He's accurate. He's making good decisions. He's got good weapons in Michael in Pittman, Downs, and Warren. It is Michael Pittman, right? Why am I brain farting right there? Yeah, it's Michael Pittman. I got mixed up because Michael's my name too. Anyway, Pittman, I think, is a reasonable flex. Downs, I'm not looking to start too frequently unless I really have to. And then Warren is a beast. X dog factor through the roof. He should be in your tight end slot every single week without much consideration. Jonathan Taylor, of course, had a blow up game against the vaunted Denver defense last week. Over 150 yards and a score. He dominated the game. He's a running back one target against what should be a below average Tennessee defense. James, anything I missed there, or were you taking us out to Washington?
Not anything you miss, but I got to say, Daniel Jones is an automatic start for me this week. I think he's going to easily be a top six fantasy quarterback, and not just because of passing the ball. I mean, the Titans are bad. But what's most interesting to me is, of course, his ground game. Interesting stat I saw today, rushing touchdowns for the Colts so far this season. The only person with a rushing touchdown for the Colts this year is Daniel Jones, and he has three. Jonathan Taylor yet to get one. He's got a receiving touchdown. So
that's he's robbed. Me. He got robbed.
But let's take it to Washington for the Commies hosting the Las Vegas Raiders. The Commies are 3.5-point favorites. I think that even if Jaden Daniels is hurt, I think they probably cover that. The Vegas Raiders are not very good. But I am looking for the Raiders to perform a little bit better this week than they did last week. They surprisingly struggled with the Patriots, who are, you know, very bad. Oh, wait, no, that was 2 weeks ago. Dolphins was Patriots. It was Raiders-Chargers, which makes sense for them to struggle a bit with. But I would like to see a little bit, finally Ashton Jeanty breaking out a little bit. There were some questions about his ability to translate immediately to the NFL, and we've seen a little bit of that. He has been stymied in the running game, doing a lot of his work through the air, and I think they're going to have to continue doing that. But I would like to see Ashton Jeanty start building upon a couple of those struggling performances and get himself a touchdown, keep his team in the game, and hopefully be a little bit more of a reliable start here. Jacoby Myers for me here is someone I would hope to have in my flex, but if not, he is a low-end wide receiver too for me. On the other side for the Commies, if Jaden Daniels is healthy, that's going to make a big difference based on literally everything else. We do know Austin Eckler is injured, so it is officially Bill season. This should be the week when we see Jacory Kroski-Merritt finally start to get the kind of reps that he should get. And I'm looking at him as an RB2 this week. I know a lot of people are like, his volume is going to be to the moon because he's playing a bad team and they're going to be running the ball a lot. True, but the Raiders' defensive line is not terrible. You know, Max Crosby's still there. So it could take a little bit into the second half to actually start getting any traction there. But I am worried about Debo and Scary Terry. Obviously, Debo Samuel has been the wide receiver one for this team, which has been a little bit of a surprise for us. Seeing Terry McLaurin struggle a little bit out of the gate, but, you know, holding in or holding out or whatever the hell he was doing, that'll do that. So I'm downgrading a little bit Debo and Terry. Debo, I'm looking at if you can flex him. Terry, I think I'm sitting him this week. And that is about all I have on Commanders Raiders, and all of that contingent on whether or not Jaden Daniels even plays. He had, I believe, a knee sprain, which is ironically the same thing that RG3 got in his sophomore season for Washington. And I'm sure that there's some PTSD for Commanders fans there. But Stu, how are you looking at these? I specifically want to know how you're looking at these Washington receivers.
Yeah, I bet you want to know how I'm looking at those Washington receivers. We play each other this week, everyone, and I have Scary Terry. I don't really have an option that I would start over Terry, to be honest. I think Marcus Mariota can maybe halfway competently lead an offense. I don't fear the Raiders' pass defense, to be honest, so I'm still okay starting Terry. I'd rather start Debo, which sounds disgusting to say. One thing I will say, I'd be very impressed if Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt could succeed where Omarion Hampton had kind of failed last week. I know we're pretty down on the Hendersons and the Hamptons of the world, and even kind of the Gentees, but these rookie running backs, they're going through their growing pains. It's going to get better. You just kind of have to stick with it. I'd be impressed if JCM had a really successful game, but he should get a promising level of volume, as you alluded to, now that Austin Eckler is out for the season with the Achilles injury. We're heading to Philadelphia to the Super Bowl champ Eagles as 3.5 home favorites over the Los Angeles Rams. This game is very, very interesting, but I think less so for fantasy and more so for real-life football, because both of these teams have really solid defenses, and, you know, outside of Puka Nacua and maybe Kyren Williams and Saquon Barkley, you're not going to get huge blow-up games, I think, this coming Sunday. So, on the Rams side, Stafford, you're sitting. Kyren, you're starting as kind of a mid-level to high-level RB2, in my opinion, because these Eagles are no slouches on the defensive end. It's incredible what they can do. Nacua, you're starting no matter what, but that basically those two guys are the only ones I'm interested in for the Rams. And the Eagles, we have to have some hard conversations about the Eagles, if not today, then sometime soon, because Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown continue to disappoint, and it may just be a scheme problem, because these Eagles, they have a really good defense, they have a prolific running back, and they do not need to throw that much to win games. They are winning games against, I mean, they beat Kansas City last week in a way that was just boring. It was not flashy. Mm-hmm. I mean, A.J. Brown had targets, but all these targets were within 5 to 10 yards of the line of scrimmage, and that is not good for fantasy. If you have these two guys, I might give it one more week. We'll see what they do against another good opponent in the Rams, but I don't know. You might want to strike while the iron is, you know, not cool if you want to get these guys out of your lineups and off your rosters, because if you can get it on name brand to get somebody to take A.J. Brown, if this is going to be the year for him and he's only going to have a couple blow-up games, then he's in no way going to return your draft cap value. So that's a tough one. But should be a fun game in real life. Jalen Hurts, you're still starting. There was some buzz out of camp, not camp, but out of the team, that they're going to try to get more isolated rushing plays for him. So that's always nice to see starting him. And then we'll have to see if Dallas Goedert is back from his injury, because he got those short-range targets instead of A.J. Brown in Week 1 before he got hurt. And those targets are way more value for a tight end than a prolific wide receiver one, essentially. So, good one there, James. Anything on those two, or are we heading to Carolina?
Yeah, I think we might be too late on those Eagles receivers. I don't think anybody's going to be trying to buy those guys right now. And, you know, maybe you try to buy low on A.J. Brown if you can swap him for something, like, really cheap. But not that I think A.J. Brown isn't going to have a few breakout games this season, but it's just their stock is so freaking low. But it's so weird because the Eagles' stock is so high, the way they were just able to manhandle the Chiefs last week. But, yeah, I was wrong on A.J. Brown last week. I thought he was going to have a good game, and he did not.
I thought so, too.
Yeah.
Is there a specific name you're looking at for A.J. Brown? Like, if you took a wide receiver, one-to-one swapped him, I'm thinking somebody like Egbuka. Would you trade Egbuka to get A.J. Brown? Would you trade Jacoby Myers to get A.J. Brown?
No.
You wouldn't even trade Jacoby Myers. We're pretty low on these guys.
Yeah, I mean, if they continue using the passing game the way they have, there's not going to be any fantasy relevance to these guys. And they've said it was mostly about the way that the defenses were scheming. But, I mean, that's not working. So what are you supposed to do? Stack the box against Saquon Barkley and Jalen Hurts, and then you open those guys up. You would much rather, I think, get burned, you know, death by a thousand cuts in the running game than you would get burned by A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith on the outside and deep shots there. So I understand it, and it just kind of sucks for us for fantasy and for people who drafted those guys. And, you know, maybe it changes. Maybe those schemes change, because it's not like the Eagles have played two bad teams. They've played two very good teams, and they have not had to throw the ball to win, and that should terrify people. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see. But I'm going to move us on to Carolina versus Atlanta. The Atlanta Falcons come into this one 5.5-point favorites over the Panthers, and I think that line is probably pretty good. I would say I would expect Carolina to maybe cut that one short there. But looking first at the Falcons, this should be a get-back game, or get-good game, rather, for the Falcons in terms of fantasy. I'm expecting Drake London to kind of finally come out of his shell and get some more targets, since I don't really expect the Panthers pass rush to be able to get to Michael Penix that often. I am upgrading Drake London. I know you drafted him as a wide receiver one, but this week, look at him with a little bit of tempered expectations, as you Drake London owners, I'm sure, already do. Not as a wide receiver one, but I would think as a high wide receiver two this week. Look for him to get a touchdown. Bijan is obviously an automatic start, and as we learned this week, he actually does like to be called Bijan rather than Bijan. Mm-hmm. So, you know, snip, snap, pick what you want. We saw Tyler Allgeier get a touchdown last week, so that's nice. Still not, you know, startable, but if you want to have the conversation of Tyler Allgeier, most valuable handcuff in the league, he's making a case for it there. And with how depressing the tight end position has been so far this year, I'm moving Kyle Pitts to a start this week. Boom. Drop that on your head. Let's move on to the Panthers. I'm sitting absolutely everyone except for Chuba Hubbard. And even then, Chuba Hubbard is a middling RB2 for me this week. I don't see any reason to talk about anyone else. Maybe Tet McMillan, but seeing as he's really the only reliable passing option that the Panthers have, I think that their entire pass defense, the Falcons, that is going to be focused on stopping him. Mm-hmm. Xavier Leggett might get a few looks in response.
He won't.
But it's not like you're starting Xavier Leggett.
He's bad. You should drop Xavier Leggett. Honestly, yeah. I mean, Hunter Renfrow is more valuable than Xavier Leggett at this point. And one name that's true. I want to throw out there, if you aren't familiar with him, everyone, Jatavion Sanders, tight end for the Panthers, has been getting some good targets. And tight end's a shallow, shallow pool, so he could very well work his way into relevance pretty quickly, because these Panthers are going to be down in a lot of games.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, yep. Unless you have anything else, we are heading to Jacksonville. Just a little south from Carolina. So the Houston Texans are visiting the Jacksonville Jaguars in a divisional showdown. Should be a close game. The Jaguars are 1.5-point favorites with an implied total of 43.5 points. These Houston Texans, honestly, both teams come into this with a lot to prove, because they have had some shoddy performances. I'm mostly looking at the Houston Texans. I don't know how you lost that game against the Buccaneers, that Baker Mayfield magic. C.J. Stroud is just running for his life behind this porous offensive line. Their running game is not good. I mean, Nick Chubb had a run or two in that Monday night game that looked pretty okay, but we need to see more from Nico Collins. We need to see more from Higgins, but it's just, do they have the time behind that line to have these routes develop? I don't expect the Houston Texans to be even competitive, essentially, for most of this year, and it might get pretty ugly for that organization as a whole. For the Jaguars, I mean, they outplayed the Bengals. I know Joe Burrow went down with injury. They really should have won this game, and one guy that I want to highlight very specifically is Brian Thomas Jr., because if you look at his game tape, it is not impressive. he's shying from contact, whether it's a bad throw from Trevor Lawrence or not. He's not going for some of these things. He's allowing interceptions. It's ugly. And he's falling into the A.J. Brown tier of level of concern for me. That one as well is one that I might think about getting a jump on, getting rid of him before, you know, crap really hits the fan. So ETN, Travis Etienne Jr., is looking like a steal from the 8th and 9th round in his draft ADP. He should absolutely be started. Start him as a nice RB2 option or even a flex if you're pretty rich. I mean, you got him late in drafts. Your team might be pretty good if you've got him. Brenton Strange is a name to be aware of, but he's not going to be a start as a tight end out there. And Travis Hunter, you're not going to start him either. He's playing on both sides, and they're giving him more defensive options and opportunities, but he's mostly looking pretty average at both. So we'll just kind of have to see how that develops. But he's not fantasy relevant, in my opinion, at this point. James, you got a fun one to talk about. That's going to be a slaughter over there in Cleveland.
All right, let's head over to the mistake on the lake, Cleveland, where they are going to be hosting the undefeated Green Bay Packers, who are 7.5-point favorites. That might even be a little too generous to the Browns. I expect the Packers to cover there pretty easily. Everything really good we have to say here is about the Packers. Start all your Packers. Start Josh Jacobs, obviously. Tucker Kraft has had a great start to the season. He is a probably close to must-start tight end, especially in this depressed market we have. Packers defense is probably, I don't know, probably the defense to have this week. And, you know, if you're looking for streamers, I'm starting Jordan Love this week. I'm looking at him as a really good streaming option, looking at him in, you know, the lower QB1 territories, but startable. For Cleveland, there is not a ton to be excited about. Harold Fannin has kind of been their most interesting story, their tight end there. You know, as the tight end market evolves, hopefully there will be a few more consistent names to throw out there, and he was kind of the one to look at last week. I think he's a guy you keep on your bench, and if you have a better option, start him. We don't actually really know what the quarterback situation in Cleveland is yet, at least if they've said anything. I haven't heard. Joe Flacco, I would assume, remains the starter, but at the end of the game, they did move to Dylan Gabriel. So, past that, the other interesting story for the Browns is going to be in Quinshon Judkins, who I did not expect to get the workload or effectiveness that he had last week. As not only a rookie, not only a guy who signed his rookie contract days before, not only a guy who didn't practice until Thursday, his first NFL practice ever, but then emerging as the very clear top option for the Browns. Still not starting Quinshon Judkins, but he has just become, you know, rosterable with, if you are in like an extremely deep league with no other options, maybe you're looking at him. But I am not excited to start Quinshon Judkins against his Packers defense. I'm not excited to start any Browns against his Packers defense. I'm excited to start the Packers defense over any Browns. So that is my Green Bay take. One other thing. The Green Bay receivers don't seem to be any different than they were last year in that they're all kind of good, but none are reliable enough to start on a consistent basis or trust. Would you agree with that sentiment, Stu?
I would agree with that sentiment. I want to see how Golden develops if they start connecting more, because Love has missed him on two really open looks, really deep in last game, so that could be eventually something. But for right now, yes, I would absolutely agree. Tucker Kraft is the receiver that you won out of that team. So moving on to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is visiting the Patriots. The Steelers are 1.5-point favorites with an implied total of 44.5. So this will be an interesting matchup. Drake May had a nice game last week. You know, Kayshon Booty, who was a popular waiver wire addition, did catch one pass for a touchdown. Stephon Diggs is there. Congratulations to him on his pregnancy announcement with Cardi B earlier today.
Ah.
Good for him. Ramondre Stevenson versus Travion Henderson is a big point of contention on this Patriots team. Week one, it was all Henderson. Week two, it was all Stevenson. There's some worrying words coming out of their team that Travion Henderson is getting in trouble with his lackluster pass protection, and he really didn't get as many options. And honestly, we saw a lot of Antonio Gibson, the third-string running back, in last week's game against the Dolphins. So that is worrisome. I would be benching Travion Henderson until further notice. And Ramondre is honestly a reasonable start. These Steelers have not looked super ferocious on defense. You could start these Patriots. Drake May, I think, is a low-end starter. You could catch fire there. Stevenson is also a low-end starter. And as for the wideouts, you know, you could pick and choose, but I think you could have better options for even a flex target than these guys. On the flip side, Aaron Rodgers, I don't think it's a start. I don't really know why he would be rostered, in my opinion. Jaylen Warren is doing really, really well, though. Jaylen Warren is going to be at least an RB2 target. He's doing very, very well to start the season. He's earning glowing praise from a man that is hard to impress in Aaron Rodgers. And Caleb Johnson, you can go ahead and drop. DK Metcalf yep. is a start as a wide receiver, too. Easy peasy. That's about it for the game over there in Foxborough.
All right. I'm just going to agree with everything you said there.
That's because I'm so smart.
Because this is one of the more exciting, for dumb reasons, games for me, is this next one. Cincinnati Bengals taking the trip up to Minnesota to face the Vikings. We wanted Joe Burrow versus J.J. McCarthy. We are getting Jake Browning versus Carson Wentz. Both of these guys had their quarterbacks knocked out. Joe Burrow with a turf toe injury, who is going to be out likely the rest of the season. J.J. McCarthy, what was the actual injury he was knocked out with?
Sprained ankle.
It wasn't an ankle?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's an interesting one to get knocked out on. Carson Wentz. Didn't expect to be saying his name in 2025, but here he is. Now, interestingly enough, I don't think the Bengals lose that much this week with Jake Browning. He's as serviceable a backup as you're going to find in the NFL. Chase Brown, I've been kind of disappointed with how he has started his season. He's been getting plenty of touches. He just hasn't been doing a ton with it. I would like to see the Bengals be able to make something happen on the ground, because they are obviously not going to trust Jake Browning the same way that they trust Joe Burrow. However, I think that Jamar stays a must start. He's still Jamar Chase. There's nothing you can do to change that. He is going to get his attention, especially with Browning being, you know, when he throws the ball, he's going to be desperate to find a reliable target, and there's no one more reliable than Jamar Chase. T. Higgins is a bench for me. I think there's some people who might be looking at him as a flex play. I am going to avoid that also. Jamar Chase and Chase Brown are the only Bengals I'm looking to start this week. On the other side, with Carson Wentz, you know, the weird thing about Justin Jefferson here is the fact that he and Jamar Chase are, like, seen as equals, and even when they go to their backup quarterbacks, I think we have to treat them the same. Even though Justin Jefferson is clearly in a bad position here with the Vikings quarterback situation. He's still a start. I'm not going to say that he is a guaranteed wide receiver one at this point, but I would look at him as, you know, low-end wide receiver one, high wide receiver two. It feels sacrilegious to put him in the wide receiver two category, but I think that's the production he's going to get this week. However, Jordan Mason, with Aaron Jones out, I think Jordan Mason becomes a must-start wide receiver two with wide receiver one upside. I'm very excited about him this week. And in case you didn't notice, TJ Hockenson is not a start candidate. Mm-hmm. He is a borderline drop candidate, considering how little attention he has got this early in the season. I'm considering dropping him. I think that he's probably still a bench stash, but that's tight ends in the year 2025. Mm-hmm. Stu, any thoughts on those hot takes?
I mean, T.J. Hockenson hasn't looked good since he came back from injury last year, and I'm starting to think that that might just be the status quo. But moving on, we've got another divisional battle. Denver Broncos visiting the Los Angeles Chargers. Chargers are 2.5-point favorites with an implied total of 45.5, so decently scoring. Start with the Broncos. They're an interesting hot-and-you're-cold kind of team in these first couple of weeks. They really should have beaten the Colts. They didn't beat the Colts, but Bo Nix looked way better in Week 2 than he did in Week 1. So I think he's back into the start conversation. But the Chargers defense can be tough. I mean, they just lost Khalil Mack, so that's unfortunate. But I think Bo Nix can be started. I'm not eager to do it. We've got the running backs. J.K. Dobbins is a start, absolutely. Low-end running back, too. He's been as good as, you know, we thought that he could be. R.J. Harvey's a bench target. I think you still stash him, however. The wide receivers are the interesting part because Cortland Sutton disappointed last week. Is he right back into the flex conversation for you? Is Troy Franklin, who got all of the attention against the Colts, he was a popular waiver acquisition this week as well. Is he moving into the startable? I honestly wouldn't be eager to start anyone personally. I think the Chargers defense is pretty good, and it's really kind of a crapshoot to know who's going to get the attention any given week from Bo Nix, and if it is even effective looks from Bo Nix. So Evan Ingram is droppable, I think, at this point. He's got that calf injury. He's not been targeted. And for all the Joker talk over the offseason, he's been very lackluster to start his Denver Broncos career. On the flip side, the team that is passing more than anybody else ever, probably in the history of the world, or at least it feels like it, the Chargers. Justin Herbert is entrenched in the QB1 conversation until further notice. Until he gives me a reason to not start him, I will be starting him. And before you say anything, James, I realize that I'm starting Dak over him this week. Omarion Hampton. Flexible? I mean, so the Broncos were trashed by Jonathan Taylor. I think Omarion Hampton is flexible. Period. It's going to take some stern stuff. It's going to take some stern stuff, but I think it could... Yeah, I think it could happen. Najee Harris is not startable. Ladd McConkey did not practice today, so that's something to keep an eye on, but he's in the flex to low-end wide receiver 2 conversation. Keenan Allen, I think, is a flex target. And Cuge, honestly, he's feeling like a wide receiver 2 target. Until defenses start to cover him and leave McConkey a little more open, Cuge is a wide receiver 2 for me, because he's, at any point in the game, going to beat you over the top, and teams are going to have to learn to respect that. All right, James, you had a couple reactions there. Do you have anything you want to say?
Yeah, I'm with you on Quentin Johnson, that he's a starter. I'm probably more of like a high flex than a wide receiver too, but I just love the production he's been having and the attention he's gotten. The running backs, I want to keep my hands off of this until they figure out what they're doing over there. Omarion Hampton, I would like not to start him. I would like to... let him develop a little bit, show me his breakout game, and then I will jump back in. I don't think that's going to be against the Denver Broncos, but he will have his opportunities, and obviously he's an exciting prospect. We want to see him do well, but so far he hasn't gotten the attention that we've been hoping that he was going to get. But moving on to our next game, the New Orleans Saints traveling to... the Seattle Seahawks. The Saints are bad. They are very, very bad. They are 7.5-point underdogs against the Seahawks. The Spencer Rattler era in New Orleans trudges on, and we all kind of have to deal with that. The one kind of positive thing that has come from this New Orleans passing game has been their tight end, Juwan Johnson, who kind of showed up in week one guns blazing and didn't slow down that much in week two either. So I'm excited to see what he pulls up in week three. This Seattle Seahawks defense is not a bad one, but I would like to see if he continues getting the same targets that he has. He is a start for me. Alvin Kamara remains a start. In your RB1, low RB1 category with J. chance to go lower at RB2, but I like him even against the Seahawks. What do we do about Chris Olave here? Because he can do all sorts of things for us. Spencer Rattler obviously is not the quarterback of the future, and Tyler Shuck, pronounce it correctly, doesn't look like he is starting yet, and I don't even think that we're expecting him to be anywhere close on the radar there. So, Chris Olave, I'm flexing this week. Sorry, no, I'm not flexing. if I am playing him at all, it is as a low-level emergency flex, but I would like to sit Chris Olave, hoping that I have better players available, but I might think about it if I'm desperate. For the Seahawks, we're not picking up Sam Darnold yet, as we're all aware. Kenneth Walker finally showed us who he is, showed us he can be the guy. With Zach Charbonnet breathing down his neck, Kenneth Walker is a start for me this week, as is Jackson Smith and Jigba. I would expect to see both of those two guys, Kenny and JSN, torch this New Orleans defense and look good doing it. Stu, thoughts?
Not a whole lot. I'm ready to head to San Francisco and get this one out of the way. Just like a, I don't know if it's a palate cleanser because it tastes bad. Mm-hmm. Cardinals versus the 49ers. 49ers are small favorites at 1.5 points with an implied total of 44.5. Kyler Murray, you can start him. I don't think you should want to start him, but you may not have too many other options. MHJ also doesn't feel very good as a start. I think he's a low-level wide receiver too, or even a reasonable flex if you have to. It's just whether they look his way. It's really disappointing whether it's going to happen or not. James Conner, fine and dandy running back too for me. He's an easy start. Trey Benson is a sit candidate, and Trey McBride is locked in as the tight end one every week that he's active. On the flip side, we've got no Brock Purdy this week. Another Mac Jones. Mac Jones was okay for about three quarters, but he was pretty bad for the first quarter. So we'll have to see which Mac Jones we get, whether he can support the Ricky Pearsalls. But we know that he can support Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey is the top running back of the week and every week that he's active, essentially. He is far and away just one of the most valuable fantasy assets when he's healthy. And that's really all there is to this game. I mean, you could perhaps start Pearsall, but I would not look to start Pearsall until, you know, we see Brock Purdy come back. And same thing for Juwan Jennings there in that wide receiver room. Of course, Kittle is on the shelf, too. So no tight ends to speak of in San Francisco, James. Why don't you talk about your hometown Bears, who are bringing the Cowboys to town?
All right, this should be an interesting one here. The Dallas Cowboys are 1.5 favorites going into Soldier Field, facing off against the Monsters of the Midway. Starting with the Cowboys here, everybody's a start this week. Everybody. Dak's a start. CeeDee's a start. Pickens is a flex for me. Javonte Williams has come out of the woodwork to be one of the most exciting running backs in fantasy this year. He is an automatic start. Take your pick. Start them all. On the Bears, however, it gets a little bit more interesting because the Cowboys, while they've had a very good offense to start the year, their defense has not been good. So it leaves us looking for what are the Bears going to do with it? Caleb Williams, I still do not trust you, and I will not start you until you show me something else. However, Rome Odunze has been extremely interesting to start the season. He had something of a breakout this week with ridiculous numbers. Rome Odunze is starting for me. He is going in the flex if you can. I would love to see him get into wide receiver two territory again. If he blows up for another wide receiver one-like performance, holy crap, we might have something. DeAndre Swift is also a start for me for the Bears this week. Little bit of sad news for those of you who thought you were getting a deal on Colston Loveland. I don't think you were. I do not think he is startable. Stop doing that now. Bears defense, not startable. Cowboys defense, I also don't think is startable ever again. Their defense seems to be very, very bad. Stu, I want to know specifically how you feel about George Pickens this week, because I'm bullish on all these guys right now. Pickens had a better week two than he did week one.
Sure did.
But I'm curious what you think.
You're just asking me about everyone that I have in the lineup against you right now.
I'm honestly not even consciously doing it. I'm just asking you about specifically the ones that I have question marks in my head. They just happen to be guys that you have.
Right. The thing about anyone playing the Bears is that the Bears got absolutely torched last week, and I'm interested in anybody that can possibly do that too. So Dak Prescott, George Pickens, CeeDee Lamb, of course, Jake Ferguson, all are starts to varying levels for me. I mean, Dak is probably like QB 8 to 10 range, the Herbert levels, essentially. I'm deciding between Dak and Herbert, and I'm leaning Dak right now just because, like, all they can do is throw. I mean, Javonte Williams has looked pretty good, and even Miles Sanders has had some good runs, but I think that Lamb and Pickens are both going to eat in Chicago.
Yeah. So,
yeah. Anyway, we're going on to New York. The Kansas City Chiefs are visiting the New York Giants, which is a matchup. I don't know. It just, like, doesn't work in my head. Like, these two teams shouldn't be playing each other, in my opinion. But this is a game that Kansas City could lose. They are 6.5-point favorites right now with an implied total of 45.5, but they are on the road. Russell Wilson, to his credit, was the number two scoring quarterback in week two, behind Jared Goff, of course, aforementioned Bears debacle. But Russell Wilson took those Cowboys to the very edge and back again. He was hitting Malik Nabers way down the field. He was bringing Wandale Robinson. Wandale Robinson is the wide receiver 7 in PPR right now. I don't know if anybody knows that, but there you go. If he's on your waiver wire, you should be getting him. Their running game is not great, so Russell Wilson is, look, if you wanted to get super nasty, he could be a start for me this week, but, like, quarterbacks have gotten injured a lot already in this early part of the season. If you started Russell Wilson, I could probably see that and understand. Tyrone Tracy, Cam Scadabo are both sits, in my opinion. Malik Nabers is on an automatic start. Wandale Robinson, it would take a certain situation for me to want to do this, and I'd more likely sit him, but he could very well be an option for you. And then, what's his name? Theo Johnson, the tight end there, is a sit. For the Chiefs, I think you kind of have to start Mahomes if you drafted him this highly. I mean, he's running at a clip that is pretty impressive. It's just the throwing that is the concern. I mean, Xavier Worthy may be back this week. That guy in particular is still a sit, in my opinion. I want to see what Worthy is able to do, and I think you took him late enough in drafts that you should have options that you can start over him. But Mahomes, you can start. Kelce, I feel like you can start, but he is feeling like a little bit better than Hockenson, essentially. Like, you should have options out there that you can do instead of Travis Kelce. He doesn't look very good right now. Pacheco, banish him to your bench. You should not drop him, because he's a starting running back in the National Football League, but Pacheco should not be sniffing your lineup until something changes, because he does not look very good. James, anything I missed on my last game, or are you taking us to Monday night? That's going to be a good game on Monday.
Nah, I think you got everything. I don't trust any Chiefs other than Patrick Mahomes if I have to. But hey, maybe Jackson Dart season coming. I don't know. Could be happening. Probably not this week, but let's look at the last game we have today, the Monday Night Football, only Monday Night Football game this week, the Detroit Lions traveling to Baltimore to face the Ravens. The Ravens are 4.5-point favorites, and based on the way that, well, I guess based on the way week one went, I would expect the Ravens to cover that, but the Lions just shellacked the Bears, so they are riding high. The total is sitting at 52.5. That's a pretty decent number. I don't think they hit that over, but we will see. Let's start with Detroit. The Goffense was the most effective quarterback in the NFL this week, and that might have been mostly to do with the Bears not planning for him well, but I do expect the Lions to be behind in this game, and I do expect them to be throwing the ball a lot. Which means, obviously, Sun God was already a starter. Jameson Williams, if he wasn't for you already, he should be now. That does not extend to Sam Laporta, however. I don't trust him still. I guess you kind of have to start him because of how bad the tight end position is right now. I look at him pretty similarly to the way we're talking about Travis Kelce, but that's only if you have to. For the running backs there, we still got Jahmyr, who is an automatic start, Jahmyr Gibbs. I am not starting David Montgomery this week. I think that Jahmyr Gibbs is going to be the guy you want to have, and I'm going to rely a lot on that, on what he can do from the air and touchdown equity. I don't think David Montgomery is the guy to start, but we'll see. Moving over to Baltimore. Obviously, Lamar is up there in the top two running backs, top two quarterbacks in fantasy football right now, and he shows it. He lit it up through the air last week. He's going to be hot. I'm starting Zay Flowers. He is a wide receiver two for me this week. Now, we got to talk about Derrick Henry. What happened last week? He had nothing going. I think he had like 26 yards or something at the end of the game with a fumble. That's like his third fumble in the first two games. He just destroyed everything in his path in week one, and then nothing going last week. Nothing against the Browns. I don't know how that happens. He is still a start because he has to be. He is still a running back one because he's Derrick Henry, and he has to be in this offense. He has to be. Mm-hmm. He has to bounce back. He has to be the guy. Mark Andrews. I don't even know how to touch this one. The tight end position is so weird. I guess he's a start? I don't think he is.
I don't even think he is. He's a bench or even a drop target for me. The only thing that you can count on is perhaps if he catches a touchdown. And he has a better possibility to catch a touchdown than most. It's just, if he doesn't, you're not getting anything.
Yeah, and that's my whole thought process there. But this Ravens offense, it like you said, he's going to get opportunities probably, but it's just a huge gamble, as is everything at tight end other than like Brock Bowers and Tyler Warren right now. That's kind of how it is. Mm-hmm. But wow, that was
a marathon.
A really fast 52 minutes of breaking down every NFL game for fantasy football this week. Stu, how do you feel?
I feel okay. We'll have to, you know, get some feedback on how everybody liked this. You know, reach out to us on our socials, the on X, on Instagram, at fantasyfootbeer on both platforms. We do also take beer requests, fantasyfootbeer@gmail.com. You know, let us know how you liked this. We're trying to kick some things around. Of course, we're just a podcast that releases once on a weekly basis. And we thought, or at least I thought, you know, let's look forward and not just reminisce and look back. Because, you know, this is the information that's pertinent to you guys. So let us know if you liked it. Please, you know, we always want feedback to see how we can manage our mid-season content. But how did you feel about it, James?
I didn't feel bad about it. I thought it was fun. I thought it was good to get to talk about more names and talk about them probably more, well, I don't know about more impactfully, but I think we got everything we needed to out there.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to listen to this one back and see how it went and get a little feedback from our listeners. But Stu, I believe it is last call. What are you drinking this evening?
Well, I am drinking same as last week. It's the nap in the hammock. So now I've had it. I've tasted it. It's fine. It's a cream ale. So I like it. Okay. This is from Metazoa Brewing Company, by the way. It's not the Sunlight Sun Cream Ale or the cream ale from Sunlight Sun Game. What is wrong with me? I worked all day. I'm sorry. I don't have a brain right now. But I'm ready to drink beer, not think for a little while. But, James, what are you drinking this evening?
All right. So, I know we generally like to cover craft beer. I am not doing a craft beer this week, but mostly because I want to tell y'all some facts. So, I am drinking one of the most popular beers in the world and one of the oldest beers in the world. I'm drinking the Pilsner Urquell, coming from the Pilsen region of Czechia. Why I wanted to highlight this one is because chances are everybody listening to this has consumed a Pilsner and is a fan of the Pilsner. In fact, I think over 70% of all of the world's beer is in the Pilsner style, whether it comes from Pilsen or not. But the Pilsner Urquell was the first Pilsner. And basically, after it released and started circulating through Europe, everybody else wanted to try to figure out how to make a Pilsner. Even in Germany, where they were famous for their darker beer styles, once they figured out how to modify their water in order to make those lighter Pilsner-style beers, they did it. And it's extremely popular in America, as all of you know. But it all started with the Pilsner Urquell, which is not what it was originally called. I don't remember what the brewery was originally called, but it wasn't even like a commercial brewery. It was like a just a city-owned building that made beer for the people. So I thought that was a cool story, and I'm going to crack this for you in 3, 2, 1. And while I drink this piece of history, I guess, Stu, closing thoughts.
Well, I spilled half of it down my front, so I'm just going to say apologies for the slurping sounds in your ears for the couple seconds as I tried to prevent the foam from going too far. Thanks for listening. It was a fun one. Again, let us know how you like the new format, and James, why don't you take us home for the evening while I go get some paper towels.
All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in with us. Thanks for sticking with us for a slightly longer episode. We hope you like this new format. If you do or if you don't, let us know on all our socials. I know Stu is running off getting paper towels or something out there, but thank you to Dr. Stu for another great episode. Thank you for all of you for listening to it, and for all of us here at Fantasy Foot Beer, I'm James Kemp. Good night. Good talk.